Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Sunshine, haven't I heard of you?
You're not a cop, are you?
Johnny Sunshine. Johnny Sunshine, I remember. Yeah, it was Los Angeles in the late 60s. Johnny Sunshine boss Jack. Hey, you were very hot, man.
Yeah.
Something happened there, though. Station fired you for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you something, baby. They all fire you sooner or later.
Yeah, no, but this was something that you, something you did.
Yeah, well, we all do things, right?
That was something that you said.
Yeah. Booger.
What?
I used the word booger on the air.
That's right.
Yeah. I was making about $100,000 a year out there. Then one day I said booger. Bunch of bozos called the station. Next thing I know, I'm in Amarillo hosting a garden show.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the man.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And all I got to say is Happy Earth Day. Where's my? I need my noisemakers. I need a horn.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay. Melinda Myers is in the studio. Can you do some sort of sound effect? That was it.
I think so. Sorry. Woo!
You know, and it's funny because if you go to my website mikenovak.net and you go to this week's show. I do talk about Earth Day because we're gonna have some Earth Day topics today, but my headline on my page is our planet is under attack from us. Happy Earth Day, woohoo! Because I don't know what it is right now. Is it something in the water? But everybody's attacking the planet, and it's like we're trying to find ways to degrade the environment even more. What happened to 1970 and Earth Day and all that stuff?
You know, I think it's good that we're still celebrating, but you're right. I think we need to really beef it up a little bit and do a better job every day.
Every day. Now, and some things have become better. The idea that we recycle, well, not in Chicago. But other than in Chicago, recycling is more the norm. I think, don't you?
I do think so. And I do think there are more people.
We're looking at each other and we're going, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, is that? Yeah,
well,
is it?
And I do think, you know, we both lived through the wave of the late 70s, early 80s where it was.
I don't remember any of it, but
okay.
There you go.
Well,
but that's a different story.
That was a whole nother growing thing that you did back then. But I think, you know, I think a lot of us lived through it and then it all of a sudden disappeared, you know? You know, remember the energy crisis in
well,
the late 70s?
Well, part
Nobody
of it was
did.
The tone that was set in Washington. I'm sorry, Mr. Ronald Reagan didn't give up.
Oh, the solar panels off
the White House. A flying leap about,
exactly.
About, you know, trees were causing pollution is what came out of the Reagan administration. Okay, thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
that's
and
really
so
smart.
I think we're feeling another resurgence, and I'm hoping the good part of this.
You know what? I don't. See,
you don't
I know I'm supposed to be positive about this.
Okay, so we're going to be the yin and yang.
Yeah, we're
going to
be the. And, you know, that's what I do with Jennifer Brennan, too. When she, and by the way, yesterday was the first day of Dig in Chicago.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
And I hope people watched it on cable channel 102. And if you didn't, it rebroadcasts next Saturday, and then we'll have a new episode the week after that. So, or you can catch it online at mydiginchicago.com. But getting back to the yin and yang here, because I look at the world, and partly because of the economy, what happens when the economy goes south is the environment takes a hit because everybody says, oh, we can't have both. You know, you only get one planet. And I said this last week, and Kathleen, you know, God love her, tweeted it and repeated it. Economies come and go. Economies ebb and flow. But you got one planet, and when that's gone, it's gone. And when you have 45 acres of trees, like in Evergreen Park, that got cut down last week,
you can't replace those. And I think that's the part that we're such an instant society that I think that's what gardening teaches us about patience, about inputs, about outcomes, and about waiting. Because you plant a tree, and if once you've grown a tree, you know you can't replace those. And and it's sad that that's even a topic of discussion right now.
It is for a shopping mall. Shame on you. Shame on you, Evergreen Park.
Like we don't have enough shopping malls.
Really. Just shame on you for doing that, really. Today we will talk about Earth Day some. We're going to answer garden questions. Melinda Myers she's the real deal. She's written more than 20 gardening books. I'm still working on my first, okay? Just saying.
Well, you're busy. Busy getting TV together and keeping the radio
show. I have the book. I just need a publisher.
Well, that's always
so
the
any publisher. I know.
It's He's a great, got good stuff.
It's my columns from Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. That's going to be my book. Yeah, you know, I'm not. It's all. See, the point is, it's already written. I don't want to do something that I have to sit down and actually work on. Are you kidding me?
Especially with the garden season coming up.
Let's see,
writing on your computer, looking at your garden and the weeds grow. Yeah. It is a painful experience.
So Melinda has been on radio. How long were you on radio in Milwaukee?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm at 15 and I feel really old.
We both started when we were very young.
Yeah, I was 6. I was 6 years old when I started this. You did that for 20 years. You have a television show.
Yes, I did Great Lakes Gardener. Sometimes replays on weird times on PBS, but
do you get royalties for that when it replays?
It's PBS. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
And it's television. I do Melinda's Garden Moments, though. We just broke 100 radio and TV stations nationwide, so that was exciting.
And that's what a minute.
1 minute tip. So you know, tip.
Is that my future? Do I need to go to the 1 minute tip?
Maybe it's quick and to the point, and we're in newscasts around the station, so local news, so a lot of people see it, we hope, and we have it on the website, my website, melindamyers.com.
And website is full of tips. See, mine is cluttered with the flotsam and jetsam of my brain, okay? And yours has actual gardening. Oh, actually, I do have gardening tips, though. So, you know, I got stuff on there, I've started adding up a Wally Pesci's Wally Schmidtke from Pesci's has all these great gardening tips. And
excellent.
We got a new one up this week, and we'll be doing Wally's tip of the week later on. But because Melinda is an actual gardening person, not that, other people who I have on the show aren't.
Right.
They are. I mean, that's why what I'm saying is I'm the one who doesn't know the answers. That's why I bring all these great people.
Oh, you're a gardener, too. We just all have different expertise.
Exactly.
And focus.
What we're going to do is answer some questions. 773-763-9278. I want to answer some gardening questions for you. You can call in, you can tweet, you can Facebook for us, and we will do our best. And we will talk about Earth Day. I've got lots of stuff on the show later on. One of the things I'm going to be doing today is giving away tickets to IMAX. I have IMAX tickets. To the Arctic is the name of the film. It's in 3D. I've never seen a 3D film at the IMAX.
I have not either. You and I are kind of on the same tech level when it comes to IMAX and 3D.
And Florian Schultz is the author of this fabulous, fabulous book called To the Arctic, which is the official companion volume to the IMAX film. And he's going to be on the show at the top of the second hour. What I want you to do is, if you got a great Earth Day tip, tweet it or Facebook it or call us at 773-763-9278. And I might just lay some tickets on you. Yeah, I think you you might like that. A couple of IMAX ticks. So I want to give all of these away before the end of the day, end of the show. So,
and the book is beautiful. So it, you know, the IMAX presentation has to be even more incredible with that whole surrounding you with the picture and the environment. So it's definitely worth it. And sharing your ideas would be great for everyone to hear and be inspired.
Yeah, we want to be inspired. Don't be negative, Nelly, like me. Be a positive Patty, like
positive Patty. Pat, that'll be my new nickname.
Positive Patty and Negative Nelly are here in the studio. All right, let's take a phone call. 773-763-9278. We go to line one. And Joe in Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Is he there? Okay. I
have touched no buttons on this.
I know you haven't done it. I've got the fader up. Okay. And Dennis is going to run in here in a second. Well, I'm hoping people can call us in and ask questions.
Otherwise they're going to be calling in just screaming because it'll be you and I chatting all morning.
That's
here comes
true.
Our friend,
Mr. Taxi. Dennis. We've got this button up and that's up and it's the S phone and, I'm not hearing, Joe. Okay. Well, Joe, hang on there.
We'll find you.
He's lost in the ether. Okay. But I want to start with some. I'm going to break real quick here. But I want to start. I actually did get a question on Facebook this morning from Jonathan. And it's just a perfect question to start the day. Mike, I would like to stop using weed killers and fertilizer on my lawn and gardens, but we have lousy grass and lots of ugly weeds. Where do we start? And I think that's a very common question.
Oh, definitely. You're absolutely right. And I think lawns are kind of the dirty little secret during, you know, the quasi-environmental movement, but people are growing them. They're the backdrop
for your
gardens.
They love their,
they keep your feet from getting muddy when it rains. You know, that's kind of my lawn philosophy.
And what I call them is the great black hole of horticultural discussion because all rational thought gets sucked in and is never seen again.
And I think you're absolutely right. And you know, you and I were chatting a little bit about this too, that there are some solutions that you can be eco-friendly but you can't have a golf course quality lawn, but that's okay. You don't need one.
No. And that's a problem that I have right now with a certain company whose name shall remain nameless, Scott's Miracle-Gro, and their whole make your lawn look like Wrigley Field. Well, you know what? If you hire the groundskeepers, it will. You know, it's just to think that you can throw down that seed and then throw all that weed and feed and it's all going to be perfect. And don't worry, you can walk away. And that's not the way it works.
I had a gentleman come visit me one time and he was having a lot of disease issues. And I was asking about his care and he was fertilizing every 6 weeks. He was doing all of this. So he was pushing his grass. He had a lot of thatch. And I said, if you do all of this, you generate more work on that end. So, you know, the more inputs you have, the additional inputs you need to maintain. So let's get back to basics. Grow your grass tall.
Yeah.
You know, mow often enough to take just a little bit off. Leave those clippings. That's one fertilization a year if you leave your clippings on and they don't cause thatch.
There you go. And then that's something people worry about. They say, well, if I leave my clippings, it causes the thatch. No. They break down and they bring nitrogen to your soil.
Moisture and organic matter.
It's actually over-fertilization that causes thatch.
Exactly. And then fertilizing properly will help. One fertilization a year really will help reduce your weeds. They've done some research. I think it was at UW-Wisconsin, Madison, that did the research and found just one fertilization. And if you're only going to do it once, sometime between Halloween and
fall.
Right.
Fall is the time to work on your lawn. Now, people want to do it now because it's spring and things green up and they say, oh, I need to do it. Here's the problem. We grow cool season grasses in the Chicago and the Milwaukee areas.
Right.
All right. They love April. They don't like July so much.
Right.
So what happens is you do all this work and you put this seed in and the grass just starts to grow and then it gets to be 95 degrees.
Exactly.
And it's not happy. So you're much better off planting in September because it gets cooler and cooler and cooler, and the grass is happy, 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 and then it slows and stops in the winter and then comes back. It's ready to come back in the spring.
Exactly, and the soil's nice and warm, and hopefully we have the right rainfall. If you do feel the need to get your lawn through that hot, dry summer, wait till Memorial Day. And as you know, Mike, I'm a huge fan of Milorganite because it's a low-nitrogen, slow-release fertilizer, and it's an organic nitrogen fertilizer. It's got phosphorus that's non-leaching, and they've done research, and they found that when the microorganisms work on that Milorganite, it releases some of the phosphorus and potassium tied up in the soil from years of 10-10-10 and 12-12-12 fertilizing. So now we're giving those nutrients that we over-fertilized in the past because we have high to excessive levels almost across the country. It's that way. That are now available to the plants. And then if it does get hot and dry, it sits there and nothing happens. So if you feel like you need to beef it up more than once in the fall, Labor Day is the second time to fertilize, and Memorial Day if you need to really do that moderate fertilization.
Well, people have been ingrained with that whole four-step approach, you know, and it's – and I've been to lawn care seminars, organic lawn care seminars, and say, you know, if you do it twice a year, that's probably a lot.
Right.
You know? And like you said, you could do it once a year and it's probably fine.
Right. And it's all on what you want for your outcome. And the other thing in my, when I ask someone who's been doing the 4 or 5 step programs for 5 years or 10 years, I'm like, so if you still have to put down that much chemical, something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, really, sometimes, you know, if you have to do a blast of an organic herbicide, a weed killer, or if you choose to use a more traditional synthetic product, if you're doing it every year, something's out of whack. Your soil's not right. You're using the wrong grass. Maybe you can't grow grass in that area. Sometimes it's too shady. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people that want to grow grass in shade, and I'm like, you know, if you've tried the shade-tolerant grass mixes and it's not working, do a ground cover.
That's the other thing. I mean, folks that have you believe you can grow grass anywhere, it's tricky to grow grass in the shade. You know, I had a friend of mine who's an organic lawn care guy say, you know, grass is 60% sun. You know, it really wants 60% sun. So if you can give it 60%, you know, you might stretch to 50, but, you know.
Not to 20.
But yeah, but, you know, people want to grow roses in 20% sun, you know.
Well, and you'll love this. I had a guy come, and I was answering, and I was sharing this with somebody in line, asking me questions. The guy behind me goes, I grow grass in the shade. I said, okay, what's your secret? I plant it every spring. And I'm like, well, if you want to grow your lawn as an annual crop, that's okay. Personally, not going to put that kind of time in grass.
No, I don't think so. And getting back to Milorganite,
yes.
Because. Actually, happy to have them on the show again this year.
And I know they're happy to be sponsoring.
And in fact, it's your voice on the ads we run. The other thing that's in Milorganite is iron.
Right, chelated iron, so it's not tied up in our alkaline soils, which we have in this area.
Right,
and so it really gives a good boost to greening.
Uh-huh.
So.
And explain how, you know, because people's eyes glaze over when you say
chelated
and
iron,
and alkaline soil and it's not tight. Really, what does that mean?
So what happens is soils can be sweet with a high pH.
And that's another term people use. Your soil is sour it's acid.
Right.
All right, which is below 7. pH level 7 is neutral. Anything above that is considered alkaline or sweet.
Right.
Which is in our soils are sweet, except you know, alkalinity can cause problems too.
Like that's why red maples don't. The true red maple, Acer rubrum, that has green leaves in the summer and red leaves in the fall. Blueberries struggle here. Even rhododendrons and azaleas can make it, but they really like soil pHs a little bit sour, a little bit under that 7.0. And so when we're trying to grow some of those plants that like it acidic, iron and manganese are deficient because they're tied up in the soil. Chelation is a way of that ion, that iron, isn't tied to the soil, so it's available to the plant. So that's why you hear chelated iron as a fertilizer for alkaline or sweet soils, that it's available to the plant. It's not
bound
to the soil.
And Milorganite adds that so that it'll provide a little green up for
your soil. Exactly. So that won't be a deficiency. And that's important here in this area, around the country, but especially here with our alkaline soils.
All right. We're probably doing too much on lawns, but, you know, that was the first question out of the gate.
Can I just do one more thing?
Yeah.
There are some good products out there that are more organic. We were talking about corn gluten and research out of the the University of Minnesota and University of Iowa found spring and fall applications, after 3 years, you can reduce your weed population by 85%. Mm. I used to think it was 50, but Jeff Gilman out of the University of Minnesota reported 85% reduction. That's amazing.
Now, Jeff Gilman is an interesting guy, and I'm going to have him on the show. University of Minnesota, he's the myth debunker.
Yes.
He goes after various gardening myths.
And he also finds that some are true, and he finds, you know, there were a couple that I didn't think were true, and I read his book and talked to him, and he's like, yeah, nope, it really works, and here's why. And he gives you the science behind it. You know, he goes, I'm not after organic gardening. I'm after finding the truth. So that we're doing the right thing. So I was really impressed with that statistic. And then one of the new products for me is the active ingredient chelated iron. Now, it's at a level that's going to kill the broadleaf plants, not what's in milorganite, okay? That's a level that the plants can take and use for nutrient uptake.
So it's the same chelation?
But a different concentration.
But different concentration. So, yeah, and this is a product that Jennifer Brennan has talked about and is very excited about, and obviously you are too.
I used it last year for the first time. We tried on ground ivy or creeping Charlie. It was still pretty cool when we didn't see the uptake. Waited a couple weeks because last spring was cool, We waited a few weeks, a little bit warmer. It turned that creeping Charlie black within the day. And what's cool is you spot treat your broadleaf weeds, your dandelions, your plantain, those things, and the grass around it turns green because it can accept that iron at a different level.
I understand. It'll turn dark, but then recover, bounce back.
And it's a green, so it's like fertilizer. So it's not
so
at a level that kills it.
People are asking, they're saying, wait, how do I kill? You said I could kill creeping Charlie and dandelions. Apparently it works on dandelions too. And that's, you know, Jonathan was asking, well, where do I start? This might be a good place to start because it's an iron product. Now, is there any danger of putting too much iron in your soil?
Not that I've seen. I mean, you want to follow label directions carefully. And again, iron tends to be bound up. So whatever's used, it's in a chelated form. It's going to be taken up by the plant. So you want to follow the directions. That's always key. They've done research. You know, you always worry because 10 years down the road, we may find some problem with it. But I think the key is moderation.
That's what we do in America. We throw stuff out in the market and then 10 years later say, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. And I think if you start with culture and care, you know, I let my lawn go dormant, but I leave it lawn. It's the last one to turn brown. It's the first one to recover. So the weeds take over when it's really hot and dry and I have a little more weeding to do. But you know what? I was going to use some more traditional synthetic herbicide on my lawn, and I walked out there and I saw the robin pulling the worm, and I went, I like the weeds. My neighbors will just have to deal with. I'll just live with a few more weeds.
You know, that's an important part of this is changing your mindset. You know, if you see a dandelion, so what? You know, if you see clover, guess what? Clover's not a weed. It's a nitrogen fixer.
It's a nurse crop. We used to put it in there on purpose, and people are going to clover lawns now, and that's kind of a new trend. So I'm kind of anxious to see where that goes.
Well, okay, get back to the iron chelate product.
Go ahead.
Well, I know it as Bayer puts it out as Natria.
One of their Natria products. That's their whole natural line.
Right. There's Natria.
And then I know it as Whitney Farms. It's kind of in a beige container. They also have it. So what you're going to do is, if you're my age, get out your reading glasses because those active ingredients are always in fine print. But check the active ingredients. Some garden centers will put their products, their natural products, together to make it easier. And then you'll find, if you find one of these two, you can look at the other brands. And it's a relatively new one. So
It's an interesting twist on things.
Yeah, EcoSense is another one. But they've been doing research.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's another brand name.
Okay. All right. And you're looking for the iron.
Chelated
iron.
And it's spelled C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D.
Right,
which you wouldn't think of looking at it.
People might.
Chelated, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like chelated.
Chelated iron. So.
Okay.
Don't call us and we know that's not how it's pronounced. It's to help you go. Those goofy people can't pronounce it. Oh, that's the product.
That is horticultural and broadcast expert Melinda Myers, she's here all day. So give us a call. Dennis is still frantically working the phones. That's okay. Well, if you can't call, a tweet or Facebook, we are connected. Our email, mike@mikenovak.net. You can always do that. If you don't catch the whole show, you're always welcome to go to the podcast, which I post usually by the end of the day. depends, you know, whether I'm watching a ball game or something later on. But, or going to the IMAX, you never know.
That's right.
And do you feel like your yard has turned into a booby trap scene right out of Indiana Jones? Like you might accidentally fall into a hole and end up discovering the Holy Grail? Molemax from Bonide can bust burrowing creatures. Nicely, of course. Molemax is made from all natural ingredients and is an effective repellent against burrowing animals from moles to voles, rabbits to skunks. And Molemax is not harmful to animals or people. The dustless and biodegradable granules are safe for use around children, plants, and pets. Just apply 3 to 4 times a year to send nuisance animal pests away. Molemax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet, or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower or vegetable gardens. Molemax is also available in a quart size ready to spray liquid with a built-in hose and sprayer. Molemax can be found at Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Kinnish Village Florist in Palatine, and Matson Ace Hardware in Coal City, Illinois. Or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
When's the last time you stepped into a real garden center, a place that's friendly in the neighborhood where quality service and information is an everyday promise? Welcome to Hawthorne Gardens, located at 24481 North Old McHenry Road in Hawthorne Woods. This family-owned garden center has been providing unique products for your home and garden since 1980. They're a great source for water garden supplies. Hawthorne Gardens has more than 400 varieties of perennials, many unique and new annuals, more than 100 varieties of tomatoes, and they're the area's premier wild bird supply store. In fact, next Saturday, April 28th at 10 a.m., stop by for the seminar, Hummers and Orioles, everything you need to know about hummingbirds and orioles. You know, I don't know if I've ever actually seen an oriole in my backyard. Oriole, that would be really cool.
It would be. I haven't either. I'm excited with hummingbirds and chickadees and robins. Well, I have a woodpecker that visits my suet feeder.
Oh, see, you're lucky. I've seen a hummingbird in my yard exactly 3 times in 11 years. So,
try Bina verbenariensis, Brazilian or Argentine verbena, or Cuphea, C-U-P-H-E-A. Great hummingbird plants.
There's your tip from Melinda Myers. And you're going to learn about hummingbirds and orioles, when they migrate, when they eat, and which plants you need to attract them. Hawthorne Gardens is just 3 miles north of historic Long Grove. Visit them at hawthornegardens.net or like them on Facebook. Hawthorne Gardens is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a tip from the care of trees, something to think about as you're looking at your lawn. And we talked about this a little earlier, Melinda, and of course the lawn's greened up earlier than usual this year. And if you're trying to grow trees and lawn, they don't really go together.
Right.
Lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Surprised? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. This is just one of the reasons you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. In fact, maybe this is the year you create or expand that mulch ring around the base of your trees. Really, it looks great, and it's just so much better for your tree.
We did that. I used to teach at a technical college, and we expanded our mulch ring around a catalpa that my students said looked like a bush, not a tree. We expanded it to the drip line. That thing put on 2 feet of growth the next year, and it was a hot, dry summer. I mean, evidence that, wow. Just getting rid of that grass made a huge difference. That's all we did differently.
Yeah. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Melinda Myers is sitting in with me. You can find her information at Melinda Myers, and that's M-Y-E-R-S.
Thank you.
I know how to spell that. Jennifer Brennan just texted me, "Hey, Mike, the Iron Active is actually listed as HEDTA, H-E-D-T-A.
Thank you, Jennifer. You're right. Thanks. I'm sorry about that, so thanks.
She knows her stuff.
She does.
Pronounced HEDTA, okay? More complex than just chelated.
Great.
And she says, and it was developed by Neudorf. And the labels will all read Iron HEDTA, H-E-D-T-A. So if you're looking for that iron product,
thank you.
HEDTA is how it's pronounced.
Thanks, Jennifer. That's great.
Yeah. You know, but I have lots of folks who do that on my show. They know me. So they know, oh, my God, we got to listen to Mike, make sure he's getting the right information out. But they'll call in and help me out, or they'll post and say, hey. And I love it. I think it's great to have that kind of a community.
And I think that's what gardeners are really about. You know, I was weeding in my yard. I live in the city. So I'm like right on a busy street, and people walked by when I was gardening. And, you know, some guy goes, oh, I've always admired your garden. Glad to meet you. And, you know, do you have this? Yeah, I have a lot of these. Do you need this? And he brought me a bag of stuff. So I dug a bag of stuff, sent it to his garden. You know, I think that's what gardeners are about, sharing.
Yeah. And sharing information.
Right. Exactly.
As well. When I did a talk yesterday out at Pepper Creek Greenhouse in Rockford.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, what sweet people. What a nice time I had. And, you know, one of the things I tell them is, you know, if you're a gardener and you can grow stuff, pat yourself on the back. That's not the easiest. You know, there are lots of people in the world who say, oh, I'm a brown thumb, I kill everything. So if you're one of those people who doesn't kill things and you're sharing your knowledge, this is why your neighbors come over the fence and they say, hey, can you help me with this? You know, pat yourself on the back and be pleased that you do something important.
And the other thing I like to tell people, especially new gardeners, is relax and have fun. But one of my favorite definitions of a green thumb is a person who's grown lots of plants, killed quite a few along the way, and they just don't mention the ones they've knocked off. And, you know, I think as a gardener, we always, you know, you push the limits, you try, it doesn't work, you find the new spot, put it in the compost bin so it's not wasted. You know, mm-hmm. If your plant dies, you know, if it's not diseased or insect infested, but, you know, you didn't water it right or it was in the wrong spot and it dies, compost it. It's got a new life in your garden. So this is the
positive Polly. Oh, positive Polly's in the studio. Oh. I got a Facebook post from Wally, not Wally at Pesci's, but Wally Wantuck, who says, Mike, you can talk about lawns all morning. Mine is overrun by weeds. My neighbors across the street have golf course lawns. But, you know, do they let their kids roll in them? Do they let their dogs play on it. You got to worry about that.
Right. And also, you know, where do you want to send? You know, I wrote the lawn book for Illinois as well as the lawn book for Wisconsin. And it's got all different levels. And it's about what do you want to accomplish? Then you back it up and do your inputs. And, you know, I like to have the neighborhood kids be able to safely walk across the little bit of grass I have. And I choose not to use pesticides because I want birds and butterflies in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, one of my favorite memories is my daughter and her friends when they were little. I caught them in my back in the garden stealing broccoli and eating it. You know, I called the mother of the girls up and I said, "You won't believe what your two kids are doing in my backyard. They're stealing and eating broccoli." And she goes, "I could put it on the plate and they'd never touch it." But you know what? There was no worry because there was no pesticide on it. You know, the worst that might have happened is they might have had a little extra protein from a cabbage worm if they weren't careful, or, you know, an aphid. But really, you know, there's lots of tricks like using floating row covers to keep the cabbage maggots off. The adult can't lay the egg. You cover your cabbage with this floating row cover. You keep that off. You don't have the bug problem.
I'll give you another secret, a tip that I got from Dr. Wally last year about the squash vine borer.
Okay.
Don't plant until July. And it's already past the cycle where it's going to invade your plant, you know, and you'll still have plenty of time to grow. But it's about knowing the life cycle of an insect. That's partly how that works. And row covers is another way. You know, you got to know when they're going to come and when to protect your plants.
Right. Exactly.
And then that's the thing about products that drives me crazy is when folks buy a product, they don't know whether they've got a disease or a bug, and they've heard that Roundup works. And it's like, what are you using?
Yeah, you won't have a plant, so
yeah,
I guess
really.
You won't have a disease or an insect.
I had this guy come up to me I was speaking at Taste of Chicago, and I think I've told this story on the air before, but you know Taste of Chicago. It's loud and it's noisy, and it's 117 degrees in the shade. And, and I'm under this big tent, and there's a bunch of people in the room. And you know, the thing before me had just been a yoga demonstration, and then there's...
and loud and noisy.
Right. Yeah. And, well, I don't know if it was loud and noisy. It was probably quiet, but it had nothing to do with gardening. And then all these people are sitting there, I don't know, 75 people or something. And I said, "Hey, how many people in this room are gardeners?" And one hand went up. Okay. I went, this is going to be the longest.
Tough crowd.
The longest 45 minutes of my life is coming up. And it was. But afterward, the guy comes up to me. He says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Can you put detergent on your plants?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, my plant didn't look good, so I put detergent on it." And I was like, "Well, what was wrong with your plant?" "I don't know. It just didn't look good, so I put detergent." I said, "Well, you know, sometimes you can do diluted solutions to take care of certain problems." I said, "Was it a disease or a bug or what?" And he said, "I don't know." I said, "And you put detergent on it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you dilute it?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, the plant died." I mean, that's like, okay, so this is the guy who's just a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. And that's the same kind of person who's running to the store and picking up a bottle of Roundup because they've heard it works really well on something. They're not exactly sure what, and they don't even know what the problem is, but they picked it up.
And a lot of times, if you wait, nature does a great job
of
taking care of it.
I'm so glad you said that.
You know, I had goldenrod in my back garden, and I had a bad case of aphids. And for 2 weeks, I walked by going, maybe you should get the hose. Because my first step is knock them off. If nature doesn't take care of it, knock them off with, you know, a strong blast of water or use insecticidal soap. Well, within 2 weeks, the ladybugs were there eating the aphids, cleaned up the problem. I didn't have to do anything. And what I find is nature does a good job. You know, I'll hand pick, I'll tolerate damage. That's a personal choice I've made in my garden. I have an acquaintance that anything happens, he sprays. He has more unique diseases than I've ever seen. Walk through his garage, I about couldn't breathe because of the smell of all the pesticides.
I know.
Used to be in the business. He brags he can get a hold of all this tough stuff. And I'm just like, you need to just stop. Because
you're killing yourself, pal.
Yourself, and also everything's so out of whack in the garden that he's getting diseases and insect problems that you don't see because there's none of the natural bacteria, you know, that helps, or the fungi that helps.
The soil food web, all the stuff. And I say soil food web, and I know people go, what's that? It's all the creatures, the microorganisms, the macroorganisms, because it includes insects and worms and millipedes and centipedes and slugs and nematodes and bacteria and fungi, and they're all in the soil. And if you just leave them alone to do their jobs, and you encourage them by using compost, mm-hmm. because it's the biology, stupid, do that and your garden is in balance, and then it's a healthy yard.
Right. And then mulch with things that are in your yard. And it's not just about being, you know, fiscally responsible. It's also about being sustainable. I like to shred my leaves and use them as mulch around my perennials. I use my mower, my electric mower, to shred my leaves.
I love my electric mower. Okay.
I love mine too. You know, no gas needed in the garage. It's really
and
good.
And you have one with a battery pack?
Uh-huh. Oh, it's cordless because I'd be cutting the cord.
I had the cord. And I would cut my neighbor's yard, and I'd be throwing this cord over the fence. And that gets old after a while, you know? And now I love my battery.
I do too.
And I know, if I were really eco-friendly, I'd be doing the push mower.
But you can't shred your leaves with that.
But I'm not. I've cut down on my noise pollution, and I've cut down on the air pollution. Now, you can always go back to the source and say, well, anything that requires electricity, you've got coal-fired plants creating your electricity, and right. So you're still putting mercury in the air, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, everything has a consequence if you follow everything back to the source.
Right. And I think the other thing, and I think sometimes it gets so overwhelming that I think baby steps for some. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about eco-friendly landscaping, I talk about it as a change of habit. And some people need to change lots of things in the way they live, you know.
And get used to a few weeds, as we
right.
keep saying. Just
and
get used
some,
to it.
You know, but baby steps, you know, yeah. baby steps. And all of a sudden, you've made a huge difference, you know. And that's what I always liked about Bill Nye, the Science Guy, when my daughter was little. And, you know, he'd talk about the global issue, but he'd say, here's what you can do. Recycle those cans and plastic bottles. You know, use a water bottle that you can reuse. And with gardening, look at all that stuff. I mean, I live in a city where you can rake your leaves to the curb. We pay the city to come pick them up. Of course, it rains in between.
They don't do that kind of thing in Chicago. You know, we can't even figure out how to pick up plastic bottles yet.
Well, and, but
you know, let alone right. you know leaves and, right. and yard waste. Are you kidding me?
Well, but the bad part of that is, so my neighbors are raking their leaves into the street. It rains. It plugs up the sewer. So now yeah. I have to pay the street and sewer people to come and take them out of the sewer. And we're paying to haul those leaves away. Then we pay someone to compost them. Then we buy them in a bag at the garden center to yeah. bring back to our yard.
And we also have to mitigate all the poisons we put in them because they've been on the curb. Hey, listen, I got a break.
We just got to
shut up here. Okay, I got business to take care of. If you're looking for answers to your garden questions, Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines offers the most complete assortment of natural and organic products in the area, as well as conventional curatives and amendments for your garden problems. Not sure what the problem is? That's okay, too. Put a sample of the leaf, branch, or bug in a sealed bag and bring it to the main aisle in the garden center. You're probably going to see Dr. Wally there. Their staff will give you the proper diagnosis and cure. They have a digital microscope that goes into their computer that will show you the source of the problem, whether it's an insect or a fungus. At Pesci's Garden Center, they take great pride in their ability to give the proper advice, educate their customers, and offer the best in organic and conventional curatives and amendments. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more information, visit them online at Pesci.
This is Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Presenting your World News Update.
No, we're not presenting the World News Update. Oh, stop right there. No. I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. I don't even know how it got there. Okay. Where were we? Where are Pesci's? Online. Pesci's.com. See, this is something you've never had to deal with.
I haven't. I'm so. I
you don't run
been
your
impressed.
Own board.
I've always been.
I was doing
you,
really
Mike,
well here too, up until that point. Okay, and then bam. Okay, and now I need to figure out where we are. It was 156. Oh, there we go. That's what we want to put there. Okay. Pesci's. Three generations of attentive service. Expert. And that was operator error, folks. That was totally my fault. I'm the one who hit that button. Three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better?
Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
This might be your last chance to get your hands on a copy of the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Why is that important? Well, one of the reasons is that it comes with the annual resource guide, an additional magazine that is devoted to retail, educational, and organizational gardening information from all over the Chicago area. Another reason is that this issue features the inspiring story of a woman whose passion for gardening has been undimmed by a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Instead, Naperville's Mary Ann Ostrenga created a garden walk that has raised more than $300,000 for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. That's what gardeners do. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's why Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is such a treat. You don't just learn about gardening, you learn about life. My column is on the inside back page, and that's about the twisted side of life, but it's still about life, in a sense. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. And I want to let you know that you should push the yogurt out of the way because Dr. Earth's potting soils are packed with probiotics, too. Now, these are the kind that break down organic materials and make nutrients available to your plants, so no fruity flavors, just the awesome taste that nutrient-rich soil will give your herbs, fruits, and veggies and make them thrive. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors in raised beds or containers, mixed with existing garden soil or on its own. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates. Yeah, we're doing a lot of talking here. That's Melinda Myers with me in studio. We had a great little tweet here for you. Melinda nails it, not dabbling Zan writes. Melinda nails it. My garden is full of the plants that have survived me. I call it Darwinian gardening. I think a lot of people do Darwinian gardening.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's hit line five and see if Rick DeMaio is there. Rick, are you with me? We do not have Rick DeMaio. Okay, we're still having phone issues here. We will attempt to get back to that.
We're just building the anticipation.
But you know what? He sent me the I got an interview in the second hour that I'm hoping we can get to. But Rick did send me a forecast, so let me do that in case we don't get him. All right, this is just in case. Sunday today, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 53. That's not bad. You're going around town, Chicago today.
I am. I'm going to take advantage of being here, and I love the city and all.
It's a great city. But you know, Milwaukee's a great city too.
It is. It truly is.
Did you get over to Art and Bloom? You spoke there, didn't you?
I did. It's a wonderful event. If you've never done Art and Bloom, it's just. And I love the art museum. And Lois Ehlers, who writes kids' books, does wonderful crafts for kids where they create gardens from artwork, paper and twine, and she's just. And so, yes. Anyway. I digress.
That's
sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk way too much.
You
sorry,
know what?
Mike.
I can tell you've been in radio for 20 years, all right?
Give me a lead. I jump in.
I know. It's just scary. Sunday night, mostly clear or low around 36. See, we'd still,
it's,
you know, you've got to protect some of those. I hope you don't have your tomatoes out in your yard because they're going to take a hit.
Row covers, row covers, row covers.
Yeah. Monday, mostly sunny, high near 58. Monday night, partly cloudy, low around 40. Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers after 1 p.m., partly sunny, high near 65. There we go. Wednesday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high near 61. And then Thursday, mostly sunny, high near 57. So sounds like an April week. That's kind of what we want.
Right. We just had summer in March, so we're a little thrown by this April weather.
No. We just had July, okay? And now we're coming back. All right. Spring is blooming at Alsip Nursery, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your garden and yard in shape. A great selection of beautiful fruit trees and bushes is now in stock. Of course, there's a superb selection of annuals. I was just down there for their festival at the end of March, and even then it was rocking. At Alsip Home and Nursery, they take great pride in their jumbo annual trays. This is a signature item that people come from miles around to purchase. Alsip carries an extensive selection of flats, which they grow themselves from A to Z, or alyssum to zinnia. That's an easy one to do.
That is.
Yeah. Whew. Alsip Home and Nursery also offers the largest selection of gorgeous hanging baskets in the Midwest. Choose from an unmatched variety of sizes. They literally grow nearly 100 different combinations to choose from in their hanging baskets. These range from full sun to shade. Always full, healthy, and vigorous, their unique annual hanging baskets are synonymous with quality. Just ask their customers. So get to Alsip Nursery. Do it today. They're open Sunday in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, and online always at Alsip Nursery, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Hey, yeah, my phone is ringing, and it's Rick DeBio calling. Let's see here. Hold on. Let me. I missed it. I was thinking. We put the phone. Rick, call back. Call back, Rick. Okay. Openlands wants to alert you to a bill recently approved by the Illinois Senate that poses a great threat to our state's environmental regulations, which are designed to protect people from harmful pollution and ensure companies clean up their mess. SB 3414 changes the purpose of these environmental regulations by allowing private companies to argue that their costs of compliance are, quote, a threat to public interest, safety, and welfare. This is insane. That's my editorial comment, Mike Novak right there. The changes to the law would prioritize protecting polluters' profits rather than protecting people from getting sick. If SB 3414 becomes law, big polluters in Illinois will be able to use it to skip, delay, and skirt our most important environmental regulations. We can still fight this bill in the Illinois House. Take action today by telling your state representatives to vote no on SB 3414. Tell them to put it. I won't go there. Just tell them no. SB 3414 to ensure the integrity of our environmental regulations. Go to openlands.org. You can tell I'm a little bit passionate about this.
Just a little.
Go to openlands.org to get more information about how to contact your state legislator. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Welcome to Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's the Mike Novak Show. Melinda Myers is sitting in here with me. We're still dealing with the phones, but he's got his thumbs up, hoping that we have something. You let me know there, Dennis, when we're ready to go. Oh, you're still programming. Okay. But Melinda's here for the second hour as well, and assuming we have an interview with it would be a shame if we didn't. We still have tickets to give away. I was hoping to do that. And we got this beautiful book that is just stunning, called To the Arctic. And you got a chance to look at this.
I did. It's amazing. It's the photography is beautiful. The Northern Lights, the pictures of the Northern Lights. And the wildlife.
Yeah, I mean, he's got so many pictures of Northern Lights in there. And it's Florian Schulz, and he spent a lot of time, years, actually, up in the Arctic and following polar bears and musk oxen. Crazy stuff. Putting it in a book, and it's part of this film that I'm going to give away tickets for, and we might end up just doing third caller kind of thing because we can't seem to put people on the air. And I've been trying to keep track of the Twitter stuff as well. Kathleen, you got to let me know if we had a really good tweet because it's hard for me to keep track. And I'm not exactly where she would send me a message right now either. Probably just send me an email. Let me know who we got because I can check the email. Mike at MikeNovak.net. If you're – oh, there's my phone. Wait. Hold on. Let's see. Rick DeMaio? Hi. Sorry we didn't get you on. He's calling me on the cell here. Is there any – we're trying not to hang up on you. That's the things. I don't know, Rick. Rick, say what's the problem. What did I miss in the forecast? Has anything changed since you sent me that last night? No. Okay. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a nice week, and I'm sorry we missed you, but you know, no. You're on my cell phone. Yeah, it's just me on the air. And okay, great. Thanks. Bye. He's disappointed. I hate disappointing Rick. You know?
Was it your fault? It was a technology thing.
It's a technology thing. Okay.
You'll have to give him more time next one.
You know?
He can repeat.
I always promise. That's like, Rick, next week I'll give you more time. And you know, and my listeners love Rick. I had somebody write recently, he says, the reason I love DeMaio, and Rick goes off on these environmental tangents, which I love. Because that's who he is, and he teaches this stuff. And I had somebody write to me and say, I love Rick because I learn more than just what jacket to wear when I walk out the door. And I thought, that says it all.
That does.
Yeah. So, Rick DeMaio Weather, we'll be back next week. We might be back.
The second hour?
In the second hour. Well, we'll be here. Don't know if the phones will be. It looks like I have to Facebook or email questions. If you got them, please do. Mike@MikeNovak.net or find me on Facebook. Let's do some news and see what happens on the other side.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Welcome back to the grand experiment that is the Mike Novak Show. And I'm going to go to take a look at what we're supposed to have on. Okay, on line, we're going to try line one, right, Dennis? We're going to do this experiment. Go to line one, and Susan, are you with me?
I am.
Yay!
All right. This is good. We can do an interview. Maybe we should have Rick DeMaio call back and do the Rick DeMaio segment. Susan, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Great.
How are you?
I'm great. What's up?
I am trying to give you the garden tip that you that people should be at St. John's Lutheran Church next week for the Garden of Fair, where you will be speaking.
Ah, I'm so glad that you're doing that. Thank you for calling in. Yes, I'm going to be speaking next Saturday, April 28th, a Garden of Fair. And what's cool about this is that you are raising funds for local nonprofit organizations like Illinois Valley Food Pantry, Hall Township Food Pantry, Horizon House. What's PADs?
It's a homeless shelter.
And IVAR. What's IVAR?
That's an animal rescue.
Wow, you just cover it all, don't you? And your group is St. John's Church. And is it just a community group from the church, Susan?
It's just it actually almost boils down to two women from our church who love gardening and really wanted to bring a new event to our area.
It always boils down to like two people, doesn't it? Yeah,
actually, I have a great committee. It's our women at our church, at St. John's Lutheran Church, that put it together.
Okay. Now, the idea, and this is the amazing thing, because when you asked me to speak, what blew me away is you said our goal is to raise $10,000. And I thought, wait, you're asking the wrong guy. All right. It's just me, you know. But you also asked Beth Botts. And I'm going to be speaking first thing in the morning, and she's going to be speaking right after me. In fact, we're going to carpool down there. But really, $10,000, that's pretty ambitious.
It's probably a little ambitious for this year, but the way we figured it, it could actually work if we sold out the church sanctuary for your talk. Unfortunately, I started a little late publicizing, so your help today is wonderful.
Well, I'm happy to do that, and I'm also going to post on Facebook and on Twitter, and we want to get folks out there. So explain exactly where it is again.
We are in Peru, Illinois, which is just a couple miles off of I-80. Very simple to get. We're at a major corner on the corner of Peoria and Shooting Park Road. Very easy to find.
And if folks, do you have a website folks can go to real quick to, you know?
It's probably best to go ahead and Google search St. John's Garden of Fair.
Okay, St. John's Garden of Fair. Now, what I would tell people is if you can't make, and what's it cost to get into the event?
It's free to get into the event. The only thing we charge for is the talks, and they are $5 a piece, and every penny of the $5 goes to the nonprofit for that talk.
Susan, let me have a little chat with you here, okay? How are you going to raise $10,000 if you're only charging $5 a pop?
Well, we figure we can fit 300-plus people into the sanctuary. We do have 5 different speakers that day.
Oh, wow.
And so if you do the math, it'll come out. Plus, we have plant sales, and we have free workshops. We have vendors, things going. We have a lot going on that day. So there is some money coming in from other sources, too.
You are very ambitious, and I hope that here's what I want folks to do. Even if you can't be there, send them a check. Come on, look at all the good stuff they're doing, all the different things, the benefiting. I tell you, and if you can't write this down, write to me, mike@mikenovak.net. I will take I will send the information to you so you can write a check. So all you need to know is that you got to write me, mike@mikenovak.net. We will get some contributions, Susan, for that, and I hope people
Thank
do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really looking forward. What time do I speak?
Could you call him and remind?
What was that?
8:30 in the morning. 8:30.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to LaSalle, and I'm going to speak at 8:30. Hey, can I chain myself to a bulldozer outside Starved Rock and protest the open pit sand mine if I want? Is that okay?
You certainly can. You come down the night before, and we'll make sure that you see everything and get over to Starved Rock, too.
Oh, okay, good. I'm going to bring some chains and the locks, and we'll do that. Susan, thank you so much for calling. It's great talking to you, and I will see you. And like I said, we'll publicize it this week, and I'll see you next Saturday.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
773-763-9278. I got to get to Florian, but I want to talk to Alan. I'll tell you what, Dennis, get Alan's number. Let's call him back, okay? We'll talk to Florian because Alan's got an Earth Day idea, and I asked people to call in with Earth Day ideas, and now that the phones are working, we can actually talk to them. And I think Kathleen's got some best of tweets so that we can give away. I want to give away these ticks to the IMAX so you can see this fabulous book. In fact, let's go to line two right now and bring in Florian Schultz, who is the photographer who put together this book, To the Arctic. Florian, good morning.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. I look forward to be on your show.
I'm so glad you are. Where are you? You're in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I just arrived in Atlanta. I've been touring across the Midwest, and it's been a fun trip so far.
Well, I got to tell you something. Your book is just unbelievable. It's just stunning. The photography in this book, and it's, you know, they call these things sometimes coffee table books. This is one that you really want to have. This is one that if you have on your coffee table, people will open it up and they will just start going, oh my, oh, it's just unbelievable. And you've been doing putting this book together. How many years were involved in your trips to the Arctic?
Well, I've been a full 18 months in the Arctic in the course of the last 10 years, and I try to do it in many different seasons, so you really get an idea about the ecosystem and the change from the winter through the spring, summer, and fall. And what's so beautiful about the Arctic is that there's a massive change, of course, between the winter where everything is frozen, but not only from the temperatures, but also from the light. In the winter, you have eternal darkness, and in the summer, eternal light, so that's just an incredible transition.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things that I think the average person forgets about, that at one time of the year it's going to be all darkness and the other time of the year it's going to be all light. We don't take that into account here in the lower 48. And the other thing you mentioned in your book that kind of surprised me, and I probably shouldn't have been surprised, you talked about being up there at a time when the mosquitoes are just crazy.
Yeah, you really have to imagine that there's millions of them buzzing around you, and it can drive you quite crazy, like it does the caribou. But, you know, people always want to think of just the worst and the most horrible things, like the freezing cold and the mosquitoes and all of that. But besides that, there's an incredible beauty and diversity up in the Arctic, and some have described it as just this barren wasteland, but there's so much more to it. You have the last huge or gigantic herds of millions of caribou, like, you know, the bison used to roam across the prairie in the lower 48, but in the Arctic you still have that. You have the millions of migratory birds that arrive there. And of course, it's the home of the polar bear. So there's really a lot up there to see besides a gorgeous landscape.
Yeah, you actually followed a polar bear family for several years. What was that like?
Well, a polar bear, you know, it's so hard to be close to and to get an insight into this. And the longest stretch was 5 days straight, 24 hours a day, a polar bear mother with her cubs out on the pack ice. And that was just incredible because we were able to see every aspect of her life. And that's what gets shown in the IMAX film To the Arctic. And you see little insights like, you know, her play with the cubs, her nursing. She had that much trust with us that she would nurse right in front of us and then also hunt for, you know, to provide food. But what got really suspenseful is when we discovered that a male polar bear was tracking them and was actually starting, or because of the lack of seals, he was starting to actually hunt for her cubs. That's when it became really, really suspenseful, and
wow,
we kind of almost felt like we wanted to interfere.
Do we see this in the film?
Yeah, actually, that is one of the main stories in the film, that life of the polar bear mother out there in the pack ice. And that hasn't really been filmed like that before. So the whole IMAX team is really, really excited about sharing that footage.
And it's in 3D. It's just amazing.
Exactly. It comes to life.
Yeah. There's just so much that I want to ask you about doing this. You actually had some reservations about going up there despite the beauty, because you know it's not this is not an easy job to go up there and shoot. But the question I have to ask you is, after having been up there, you said, what, a total of 18 months over 10 years, what is your assessment of how climate change is affecting the Arctic area?
Well, the effects in the Arctic are, of course, a lot stronger 2040, somewhere between 2040 and 2050, all the sea ice is gone. Now, that's, of course, a horror message for the polar bears, but all there's so many other species that will be really heavily affected. You have to imagine that all the seals, they give birth by coming, you know, on top of the ice through the breathing holes, and then the little seal pups lay on top of the ice. If there's no ice, there won't be any seals. There will be no food for the polar bear. But I think the main thing is that the message from the IMAX film and from my book is that it goes beyond that. If the Arctic experiences these changes, we will be affected, because the Arctic is, in a way, like a air conditioning unit for the entire planet because of the cold water currents. Also, because the Arctic Ocean, if it's snow-covered, it reflects a lot of the sun's rays, and the planet doesn't warm as fast. So with this film, I really hope that people start to accept that this is a very real problem, because only if we do recognize global warming as a problem and admit it, then we can do something about it.
Yeah, we're still at that point. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, Florian?
It's crazy. I can't believe it that we're still at the point of just, you know, like, trying to convince people, hey, this is a real problem, because I do have faith in the, you know, ingenuity of the human beings, that we can come up with solutions. But if we pretend there is no problem, just keep on going as usual, we'll see more Katrinas, we'll see more and more tornadoes. Like this year, for example, the tornado season has been, you know, a lot earlier and even more severe. And these are just little side effects. And even at a time, CIA recognized that that problem of global warming is a bigger issue through national security in the future than terrorism or anything else. So I don't understand why this is not talked about on a whole different level, because the cost and the problems that we're facing down the road are so much higher than addressing it now.
Absolutely. We're all dumbfounded, you know, and this is Earth Day. Today's Earth Day, and I'm glad I'm talking to you on Earth Day. But we're all dumbfounded that there is so much. You know what it boils down to, Florian, and by the way, we're talking to Florian Schultz, who is the photographer who's created a magnificent, magnificent book called To the Arctic. It's being released in conjunction with a film, To the Arctic, which is showing at IMAX. And as far as I could tell, I think it runs through next week, I think through the 29th. We're going to be giving away some of those tickets. In fact, I've got a list that Kathleen sent me, and we got a phone call we're going to get back to. It's about greed, Florian. It's about stupidity and greed and the unwillingness to look into the future.
I think fear is part of it, that the people with the greed are instituting fear. You mentioned it earlier. You know, oh, we can't afford to do the right thing.
Yeah.
We'll all be unemployed, and that means you. And so they're making us afraid to do the right thing. And this is such a beautiful picture. And your book is gorgeous. This is Melinda. I'm on the show with Mike, and I'm a gardening person, but you know, I have trouble taking a good picture of a plant that holds still. And I'm looking at your photography, and it's gorgeous, and it's great inspiration. As Mike said, it is about greed. And then,
normally at this point I would say, you know, what I'd like to do, Florian, is take one of those Republican legislators that refuses to acknowledge that global warming exists and stick them on an iceberg in the Arctic Ocean and have them sit there for a few months and witness what's going on. But really, I don't want to do that. I want to put my sister there, because she rails, you know, goes after me on, nah, there's no such thing as climate change and global warming. Are you kidding? We breathe out carbon dioxide. And it's like, what are you talking about? You're my sister. You know, you're crazy. How did you get these opinions?
I think it is the fear of recognizing something that is scary. I mean, and it is scary. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, sea level rise and other things like this, but the thing is, you know, the fear of having to change something of our comfortable lives. But I think we can move away from that and say, you know, there can be approaches and ways, you know, with new technologies as well as renewable energies and so on, that will also create tons of jobs. They will not change everything what we are about. But yeah, if you need to look at it as a serious problem, and then we can go about it. But if we just pretend it doesn't exist, we will go on as usual, and then we will pay the cost down the road. But I think it's much more than you know Republican or Democrat or anything like that. It's moving away from the complacency and just going on as usual.
Yeah, and you're right about that, in that we talked about this a little earlier on this show today about how hard it is to make changes in your life and making, you know, in America, we're the most spoiled, fat, nasty, greedy people on the planet. And we got to get over that somehow. But I don't see us doing that with our changes. The changes we make here are so tiny and so incremental that I've recently, Flory, and I've read a couple of posts from, you know, McKibben. Who wrote who's the 350 movement, and I'm forgetting his first name. He's almost at the, you know, he says, we've passed the tipping point. We're in the mop up now. You know, we're trying to fix what we've the damage we've caused, and it's going to take decades, if not centuries. And would you agree with that, Florian?
Well, unfortunately, that's the case simply because of, you know, how the CO2 is in the atmosphere and what, you know, how slowly we'll get out of it. But, you know, we need to start doing something now very seriously. I mean, of course, the global warming thing is something that seems very anonymous and, you know, no one feels like they can really do anything because it's so big. And this way, I think we can only do it through political will and change something. Now, on the other hand, right now, there's something going on in the Alaskan Arctic where all drilling ships are on their way right now, and the current administration could actually do something about it because that's something very, you know, concrete and direct on the ground. That would be the first time that drilling would happen in the Arctic Ocean in a completely pristine environment. We've seen what has happened in the Gulf of Mexico and, you know, how the response took forever and it wasn't properly cleaned up. Well, now think about the Arctic, where many months out of the year it's dark, there's no harbors, there's no access, you know, severe weather, all of that, and now you're going to allow drilling in the Arctic Ocean. I don't understand how the current administration lets that happen. It started all under the Bush administration with sales. But I think what's important is that people understand what's up there, and that's why we made the book To the Arctic and the film To the Arctic, and people should really take a look at it. In the cover of this book, you see a polar bear in an Arctic environment, and that's also what the IMAX film is about. We have created images that transport people there. They get to understand a place that's so far away from their home and understand how fragile it is, and that it's more like almost like this canary in the cage for what's happening to the rest of the world because it's happening faster there. But I think, you know, it's important that people understand first what's there and don't follow the belief, oh, it's just a barren wasteland, it's a frozen desert, there's nothing there. That's why we created the book and the film.
Well, Florian, congratulations to you, and I hope you continue to get the message out. It's a very important message, and, you know, I can sit here behind a microphone all day and rail against people who refuse to listen to facts. But you've done something about it. You've put together visual proof of what's going on and visual proof that we need to protect our Arctic area and, you know, our Antarctic area as well and other areas that are not despoiled yet. And you're right. We have to fight against the drilling in the Arctic. It would just be a catastrophe. I can see it coming. The book is called To the Arctic. The film is called To the Arctic. It's at IMAX. It's running in 3D now this week through the 29th of April.
Many theaters, it runs actually for entire rest of the year. And so that's the beautiful thing about the IMAX film.
So look it up in your area. If you've got IMAX, if you're listening online and you're not in Chicago, I'm glad you brought that up, Florian, because there's many places that people can see this. The next time you're in town, I'd love to have you in the studio and talk about photography and going out to harsh places to do your work.
Oh, sounds good. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Have a great Sunday and happy Earth Day to you.
Yep, to you too. Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Florian Schultz, wow. That's just amazing.
You do have to look at the book. It's incredible. It's incredible.
See, aren't you glad you came in here today?
I am.
You got to learn all kinds of cool stuff.
I know. Well, I always learn something from you, so that's great.
And I learned a lot from you, too.
This was an added Benny.
It's a mutual admiration society here. All right, we're going to take care of some business, and then we're going to give away some tickets. Let's see. Dennis, I know we've got a phone caller. Oh, good. Alan. Good. Alan, hang on. We're going to get to you next. He's got an Earth Day idea. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. AM and FM. And if I can find out where I am, I have no idea where. Ah, here's my cheat sheet. There we go. Okay, we did that hour. Then the phones went down. Then we talked to the guy. And then, okay. Here's some facts from the care of trees. There are over 23,000 different kinds of trees in the world. A tree, you're going to love these facts, Melinda. This is cool stuff. A tree can absorb as much as 48 pounds of carbon dioxide per year and can sequester 1 ton of carbon dioxide by the time it reaches 40 years old. One large tree can lift up to 100 gallons of water out of the ground and discharge it into the air in a day. 100 gallons a day. It's got to be a large tree, of course. One large tree can provide a day's supply of oxygen for up to 4 people. Trees trap more of the sun's energy than any other group of organisms on Earth. They are, in essence, big batteries. Only 0.1% of the sun's energy is trapped by organisms, while trees account for 50% of that energy.
They really do a lot of good things beyond what we learned in fourth grade for that, you know, first Arbor Day celebration we had as kids.
Yeah. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new Eco Garden Center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts, and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
And Maria from Green Home Experts is going to be with us next week to talk about their new digs in Oak Park. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. If Wally were a real doctor, he might tell you to quit eating bacon and cheeseburgers. As a horticulturist, well, he might. You never know. As a horticulturist, though, Wally wants you to water your plants correctly. First, water in the morning when possible. Evening watering encourages plant diseases. Don't put your plants to sleep with wet feet. That's what Wally says. If your work schedule is getting in the way, use a timer, assuming that you've set that up in your yard. More good advice is to water the area around the plant's base and not over the foliage. As a rule, your garden needs 1 inch of water per week in normal weather. Above 75 degrees, it needs more. A coffee can or tuna can makes an effective water gauge. If you're using a sprinkler, set the empty can where you're watering your lawn or garden. When there's 1 inch in the can, move the sprinkler. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Find the link to more of Dr. Wally's tips on the homepage at mikenovak.net. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Now we're going to get back to the phone, 773-763-9278. Let's see if we've got Alan. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Yay. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
It's been a long and tortuous journey through Technoville.
On your end, too, huh?
Yes, it's calling in, getting called back to, waiting, displaced portions of the show, and where is Rick DeMaio? I needed my fix, but I know he's... he missed the boat or something.
No, it was not Rick's fault. It was not.
I know it wasn't. Okay. It was the Technoville the new digs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Blaming the new. This guy's good. I like him.
All it means is he's a regular listener.
it's phenomenal. You went from Mexican food to Polish food.
Yes, we did. Exactly. From the South Pulaski to North Milwaukee. Wow. Although both of the names are Milwaukee. No, that's Indian. Yeah. Pulaski's Polish. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
my tip has to do actually with a lot of the last section, and the last section I only know one. I met one person that had the name Florian. He's an artist in Switzerland. And then to hear another Florian, I'm going, what is it? The world's turning to Florian?
Yeah.
But the real thing here, and I've got a business degree and I'm interested in science, we have got this whole ball of wax. We're living on a spaceship, as Bucky Fuller used to say. Mm-hmm. We are in the planet Earth spaceship, and we are in a finite thing. And, you know, changing water from ice to water is 80 degrees. And as soon as we get rid of that heat bank, in effect, we are in deep, well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know. So, but my tip is spend a little time, get a piece of paper. I know that's counterproductive, but get a piece of paper and think out your trips if you are going someplace to do, you know, errands and so forth. You just put them on a piece of paper and think them out logically so you're not double tracking. You save your money and you save all the pollution.
Cool. That's a really good idea. Well, you know, and it's like the UPS drivers now or FedEx, one of them that they just make right turns now.
Just they make right turns, right? And they also, you know, but they got a computer that, you know, plots their things too.
But, well, most of us don't have as many stops.
Right. That's why we need, but we need to just think before you
waste
to the metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it saves time for you. So I think you know, if you can also look at the personal benefits, a lot of times we think it's always a sacrifice. But in reality, a lot of times when we do the right thing for the environment, really we get some benefit too, not only long term because we're doing the right thing for the environment, but short term because it can make our lives better.
Well, right. Alan, I'm giving you a couple of tickets to the IMAX, okay?
Oh, thank you. One other thing.
Yeah.
Since we live in this cordless, rechargeable society, everybody's got these little transformers and stuff, and they unplug the device from it, but they forget to unplug the little transformer thing from the wall or the plug or wherever. Those things leach current. They take current. Even if you're not plugged, you know, you don't have like your cordless phone plugged in, or you don't have...
Yeah, phantom current.
Unplug those.
Yeah, there are devices that I wish I had Ron Cowgill here. He'd tell me what the device is that takes care of your phantom current. But there are things that can do that. Alan, I got to run, but what we're going to do is I'll put you on hold. You talk to Dennis. Get the address. I'm not exactly sure what the delivery system is for these tickets, but we'll work it out.
hopefully it's not the transport.
And you earned them just for all the hoops of fire you had to jump through just to get on the show today.
Fabulous show, by the way.
Thanks.
Always.
Thanks. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. I'm terrified. Do I have to put them on hold before you get to them? Okay, let's try this. Hold on. Let's go boom, hold. There you go. Woo! Give myself a pat on the back. All right. Now, the other ones that I got from Kathleen. She says, the first tip came in right after I announced the contest. Jack Darren. Now, Jack, do you want tickets? If Jack Darren, he's a Illinois Sierra Club guy.
Oh.
He says, fight climate change by telling your legislator to vote against the Tenasca tax. Yeah. Okay. You can actually go to a website that's TenascaTax.com. There's so much bad legislation in Springfield right now. What are you guys doing down there? What the heck? And we're going to talk about that in a second. So that would be the first tip. And go to TenascaTax.com to learn about this boondoggle. It's, you know, legislators are considering a bill to raise your electric bill for 30 years to subsidize a single coal plant proposed by Tenaska, an out-of-state company. Thank you. Thank you, Springfield. Thank you, guys. All right. Zan wrote, walk to your neighborhood grocer instead of driving to the big box. Don't forget to bring your own bags. You got two tickets, Zan. Annie, tip, I never run my dishwasher unless it's full. That means less water, gas, electricity, and polluting phosphates. Annie, you're getting two ticks. Kathleen, we need to get their addresses and figure out how we get them these tickets. But those are great, great tips. 773-763-9278. Don't try to do it when you're multitasking. Try to do a phone number. Spring is blooming at Alsip Nursery, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. A great selection of beautiful fruit trees and bushes is now in stock, of course. There's a superb selection of annuals. At Alsip Home and Nursery, they take great pride in their jumbo annual trays. Talked about that last hour. It's a signature item that people come from miles around to purchase. Alsip carries an extensive selection of flats, which they grow themselves. From A to Z. Now, last hour we said Alyssum to Zinnia or
Allium.
Allium to ZZ plant. No, that's not an annual. But
well, it is if you leave it outside for the winter.
I guess so. Okay.
And Allium's a perennial, so sorry, I kind of believe that too. Yeah. So
also, Poma Nursery also offers the largest selection of gorgeous hanging baskets in the Midwest. Choose from an unmatched variety of sizes. They grow 100 different combinations, and then you can choose from them, ranging from full sun to shade, always full, healthy, and vigorous. Their unique annual hanging baskets are synonymous with quality. Just ask their customers. Get to Alsip Nursery today in Frankfort, Illinois, Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, also online at alsipnursery.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Got critters? I'm talking about the furry kind. Well, you know, there's the bug critters, too, because people just, you know, they get,
it's a general yes
you
category.
Know? So, I mean, sometimes when you say critters, people think, oh, you mean bugs? No, and this time I mean raccoons and rabbits and deer. And
beautiful to look at in your neighbor's yard, but not your
right.
landscape.
You need Bonide Repelzol Animal Repellent. Repelzol is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep those nibbling critters, the furry ones, and not so furry, I guess when we're talking of possums, I don't know. unlike other commercial repellents, Repelzol has no unpleasant odor. It's effective for up to 2 months guaranteed. Repelzol natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and other questionably delicious structures. Repelzol is available in concentrate, ready to use and ready to spray liquid formulations and in easy to spread granules. Look for Repelzol products at these fine stores: Pasquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Lake Bluff, Wasco Nursery in St. Charles, Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center in Des Plaines, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your use on iPhone or Droid.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found. Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. 1997. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
We got a response to getting ticks on Twitter from Zan, who writes, "Woohoo!"
And after he sees the movie, I'm sure I'm sorry.
That's okay.
She will have an even bigger woohoo to respond.
Oh, yeah. It just sounds like a fabulous.
Well, the book is incredible. It's beautiful. So the movie's got to be equally beautiful.
Uh-huh. And I see Frugal Food Gal is trying to get in on the thing, too. So we've given away four pairs, I think, right? Because we had Alan on the phone, and then we had the three. I got a feeling Jack Darren probably didn't really want the ticks. He probably just wanted to get the word out about that. But we got a few more pairs to give out. As the saying goes, things change. And sometimes the changes are really, really cool. Like on Grand Avenue, where Grand Street Gardens has become Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. And you're going to see some things you don't expect in an urban garden center, like beehives and chicken coops.
Cool.
I love it, yeah. I talked to Jeannie Felknor, my buddy over there at the garden center, just yesterday, and she said that the chickens on site are doing great, and their coop even has a green roof.
Cool.
Not only do they have all the tools you need, from pruners to hose attachments in the garden center, they have colorful kids' tools that are just the right size for the young gardener. And Jeannie's pretty excited about the annuals that are on display, including cool season plants like pansies, nemesia, snapdragons. They also have the wave pansy. Let's all do the wave in here.
Ooh. And I planted some last fall. They came through great. They're looking wonderful.
And that's the idea, is that they're hardier for the winter. That's a new thing from Ball Horticultural.
And they look great.
Cool. In the store, they have a mind-blowing collection of ceramic pottery, high-fired for strength and durability, plus a line of tropicals that they're happy to plant up for you while you wait. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook, or just stop by 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. It's right in your own backyard.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Some people want their plants to survive, others want them to thrive. If you find yourself in the latter category, you need help from the doctor, Dr. Earth. All fertilizers from Dr. Earth are high in humic acid, a natural root stimulator, and all fertilizers contain cold water kelp, a natural biostimulant with growth hormones and micronutrients. 35 million satisfied customers cannot be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you, and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates. Oh, I love this song. This is a great song. Standing outside a broken phone booth with something, something. It only printed up so much on my little on my iTunes thing. We got lots of phone calls coming in. Melinda Myers has been sitting in with me all morning, and we appreciate that. We can take a couple. We got to make them quick. So let us whip through them right now. Let's go to line one. And Dan on the north side, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, Mike and Melinda.
Hi, Dan.
Going back to the yin and yang, this is about attracting people. Everybody's into the economy. So number one, let people know you're saving money. How to make preserves? It's so easy for a few bucks worth of pants, 18 jars. If you can save money, you can make money. You can sell it. You can get more yield out of your garden. If you're a farmer, you can put that soil web to work for you.
And it's also great gifts, from the home, from the garden,
Number three, live better. Share things with friends, with family. Have a vibrant, more safe neighborhood because everybody's out doing it. And then number four, health. If you're not eating pesticides genetically induced in your food, you're not having as many doctor bills.
Yeah.
And number five, connect with people doing parallel things. Just like you might call Ron Cowgill on his show, and they're fixing up houses. It's all to the same end. So those are my big five.
Wow.
Excellent.
Five. Wait. So, okay, I guess they get you a couple of tips.
I wasn't going for that, but this time I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, well, it sounds movie just sounds fabulous. So, all right, yeah. I'm gonna put you on hold, Dan, and okay. You talk to Dennis. All right, we've done that, and I didn't even hang up on him. Isn't that cool?
Yay.
All right, let's go to Kathleen and Joliet. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. I did have an Earth Day tip also.
Just okay.
Definitely use reusable bags everywhere, even for small things.
I've gotten really good at that. I take them everywhere. I've got them with me, and I'm just amazed at how many people don't use them. There's a Dominic's that's off the L line at Fullerton in the DePaul area, and sometimes when I get off the train, I'll have a bag in my my briefcase, and I'll open it up and buy stuff. What disappoints me and discourages me? It's a college shopping. It's a college store, basically. None of those kids are using reusable bags. It's like, what's wrong with you kids? You're supposed to know this stuff.
Well, you're
some incentive, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think your idea of having it in your briefcase or something you carry along. A friend gave me eco bags that fold up into a bigger bag that fit into my purse or my backpack. Mm-hmm. So, if they're in the car, you get into the store and you remember they're in the car when you're in the checkout line or whatever. So if you can carry them with you, too. I think that makes it easier.
Now, Kathleen, I got to ask you, are you going to be able to get up to Chicago to see this?
I will.
All right.
I've been to Chicago.
We got to work this out. I'm going to put you on hold. We will. We got to figure out how many we've given away now because we're getting to the point where I don't know if I have enough. I'm going to put you on hold and you talk to Dennis. Let's go to line three and. This should be Dave in Des Plaines. Are you with us?
Yeah, hi, I'm with you.
Good.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My tip is when you make coffee, shut off the coffee maker as soon as it's made because it goes for about an hour and it's a big heater and it soaks up a lot of money.
It also makes your coffee go bad. What I do is turn off the coffee maker after you get the first cup and it's hot and it's nice, turn it off. Subsequent cups, use a microwave, and it's just
exactly.
Fine. And until you get to the end of the pot, and it works just fine. Otherwise, you get that burnt coffee, and who likes that?
Or those thermos carafes too? Or
yeah. All right, I'm going to put you on hold too. I'm not sure where we are with the ticks at the moment, but we have actually a garden question. Let's go to before we get to Emily. We'll go to Dave in Schaumburg. Hey, Dave, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, question. I got a plumeria in the pot, and it'll always get the buds out to bloom, but the blooms, it always comes too late. Something I should be adding to it to make it bloom earlier?
So for your plumeria, do you move it out for the summer and in for the winter, or do you keep it inside all year?
No, I'm, like you said,
out for the summer.
Latter. I bring it out in the summer and in for the winter, correct.
One of the struggles with any of those plants, and especially plumerias, any change in the environment, once they've set bud, can really increase the risk or, you know, bud drop. So keeping the soil slightly moist, not too wet, and then trying to mimic the same conditions is a good idea. If you are fertilizing, you know, we talked about Milorganite earlier for the lawn, but I use Milorganite. Indoors is not maybe the best because of the smell. It won't hurt anything, but I often incorporate it or use it when I'm taking my plants outside for the summer. Low nitrogen, slow release, so we don't push growth at the expense of flowers and fruit. So you might want to put it outside, watch your moisture, do a little Milorganite on the soil surface to feed the plant slow, steady, like we should eat, slow, steady diets, same thing for our plants, and see if that gives you a little bit of a nutrient boost without affecting the bloom, and watch your moisture, and that might give you that. That might be the solution for you.
Okay, I'll give that a try. And listening to your Earth Day tips for like reusing or recycling something, something that I've found and use is like the plastic bags that the newspapers come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's great if you got a cap.
For litter.
Yeah.
Me too.
Good point, Dave. Well, thank you for calling, man. Have a great Earth Day.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's talk a little bit more about that Milorganite, since we're at that point where in the show where I would have done something on them anyway. But you talk about the low nitrogen and its slow release.
Right. Non-burning. So, you know, as the microorganisms work on it to release it into the soil for the plants to use, little bits over time. You know, I'm a low input gardener, not lazy. And so, you know, I'm huge on soil prep. I'm like you, compost, organic mulches, all the things to keep the soil healthy. And when I use fertilizer, why I like Milorganite is it's low nitrogen, slow release. And I always say they were green before it was hip and trendy. They've been around for over 85 years recycling, and now they're starting to pump methane from a nearby landfill to use it in the heating process when they kiln dry the product. Mm-hmm. So it's basically.
And I've been on
the roof together.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
On a nice chilly day in Milwaukee.
Yes, exactly.
But they're doing that to try to reduce the energy input, you know, recycle that energy. And so, yeah, it's a great opportunity and works for everything.
Yeah. So, you know, if you haven't tried Milorganite, you might want to do that, certainly for your lawn. We talked earlier, it's got a little bit of iron in it. It's going to green it up. And the thing I like is that they're doing the right thing. It's we have to balance things. We use so much. We create so much waste. We have to figure out how to reuse it. And that's one of the great things Milorganite people are doing.
Right. And they test daily and weekly. So they're also very concerned about the health and well-being of the users and the planet.
All right. Let's get positive. The dream of creating the first national wildlife refuge in the Chicago region is an idea championed by Openlands in partnership with Friends of Hackmatack. And it's getting one step closer to reality. On April 3rd and 4th, about 400 people attended public meetings where U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service representatives fielded questions, addressed concerns, and heard new ideas about the proposed refuge on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. Hackmatack would be the closest wildlife refuge to the 11 million people of the Chicago, Rockford, and Milwaukee metro areas. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
And it would provide large blocks of habitat for endangered migratory bird species, including the Henslow sparrow, short-eared owl, red-headed woodpecker, and the federally endangered whooping crane. Whoop! Openlands will play a key role in making the goals of land protection, stewardship of habitat, and recreation opportunities successful. Their work with multiple partners on land acquisition, easement creation, restoration of wetlands and grasslands, and trail creation and connections will bring valuable expertise to make this conservation opportunity match the vision. There's still time to join Openlands and give voice to the conservation opportunity of a generation by submitting comments to the USFWS by April 27th. Support the establishment of the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge by visiting openlands.org today.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
When you name a garden center after yourself, you want to make sure that you get it right. Platt Hill, the owner of Platt Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale in Carpentersville, was raised in a nursery business and has been growing plants his entire life. Platt Hill Nursery caters to the do-it-yourself homeowner gardener, from the novice to the professional. What separates them from the grocery stores, the box stores, and gas stations that sell plants? Well, one, all they carry and offer are plant and garden-related products. Two, everybody on the staff is a gardening geek, and I mean that in the best possible way. They're all experts and highly experienced in horticulture and design. And three, they love their customers as much as they love their plants. That's not too much to ask from a garden center, is it? Platt Hill Nursery is located on Randall Road, just 3 miles north of I-90, and on Lake Street, which is US 20, just 3 miles west of I-355. Go to PlattHillNursery.com or like them on Facebook. Platt Hill is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. Oh, wait, I just played that. No, that I was going to play this one. If it goes. Three, two, oh, come on. Try that again. Here we go. Oh, I know. I'm not going to play anything. We're just going to talk. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to the phone line and bring in Emily Carroll, who's from Food and Water Watch. It's a shame we have to end on a not-so-positive note. Emily, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Okay. And one of the things, you know, we've been talking about the good and the bad of Earth Day. One of the bad is some of the stuff going on in Illinois right now. I called attention to the SB 3414, which would, you know, which would say that if you use the rulemaking authorization, it's a threat to public interest, safety, or welfare. I mean, and it's protecting the polluters. NRDC called it Orwellian. It's just amazing. So we got to stop that. But you've got something else, which is why does the Illinois General Assembly want to privatize our water in Illinois?
Well, we're hoping that most of them don't. Unfortunately, the Senate did pass the water privatization bill just a few weeks ago, and now they're trying to defeat it in the House.
Uh-huh. So here we are again, because SB 3414 passed the Senate the other week, and now we got to stop it in the House. And the same thing. What is going on with why are they just bought and sold by water interests, the private companies? Why is this bill even being considered in Illinois? I thought these were good people.
I think a lot of our legislators are good people, but I think a lot of our legislators simply don't know very much about water privatization and the public health impact.
Okay, I got to stop you there, Emily. I got to stop you there, because that's what it always comes up. Is that I say, what's going on here? Why is this? And then the answer is always, well, I don't think they know much about this. They're not really paying attention. Isn't that what their job is supposed to be, to pay attention to laws like this?
It is their job to pay attention to laws like this. Unfortunately, every legislator, you know, sees so many thousands of bills for the legislative session. Many of them don't know the intimate details of the bills they're voting on, and usually not even in their own committees.
Yeah.
That can be the only explanation for a bill like SB 3573, the water privatization bill, making it out of the Senate, because there's no good argument from a consumer perspective or from a government perspective or from an environmental perspective to pass the bill.
I mean, this is one of the things that that's been on my radar for a while now, just waiting for the day when the big water or the big companies, whether water company or not, because, you know, an oil company will probably end up buying water rights at some point, and then that'll be an unholy mixture of interests. But privatization of water why is it a bad thing?
Well, I mean, the biggest reason is when a private, like a water corporation or a private water utility, buys a water system, right, they're not accountable to voters. And their first priority is not delivering safe, clean water at affordable rates to citizens. In fact, their priority is to make a profit, and they can only do that by raising rates and by cutting corners in terms of service quality, because they don't have the staff to maintain the systems.
So what folks need to do is go to my website or go to Food and Water Watch excuse me, I've got a link to your action alert, and people call your state Illinois state representative SB 3573, the Illinois Water Privatization Bill, and say no. Tell them no. We don't want this. Right, Emily?
Absolutely. Tell them to vote no.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on. We're gonna go into more detail in the future. I managed to squeeze you in today, but we'll do it on a day when you and I can just sit around and talk about more of these issues. How's that, Emily?
I'm looking forward to it, Mike.
All right. Thanks for being on board. We're getting to the end here. I got a couple of things. Seal wrote, I wish you could have Melinda on as your co-host. I'm absorbing all her tips and, in general, just enjoying listening to her.
Oh, thank you.
An avid Mike Novak fan. How about that? Isn't that nice? I got one from my buddy Dan Costa, who writes all the time. He says, I agree with Pesci's ad about bringing in sample of a plant problem. Believe it or not, I've had a few people actually bring in a healthy part of the plant instead of the part that shows the damage. They either thought I could tell the problem from looking at the healthy part they had, or they wipe off the organism, or said they were embarrassed to bring in the unhealthy part. That's pretty interesting stuff too. Do you have any more books coming out?
I'm actually working on a couple things. I'm doing a new program called Great Courses. It's a gardening thing that'll come out in 2013. It's a DVD set, one on containers and one on how to grow anything, and really looking at trying to make it easy, understandable, and some tips for experienced gardeners as well as some basics for, you know, beginning gardeners. So I'm really excited about that. That's Great Courses. So there'll be more coming
here. And stick around for overtime on online. I'm just kidding. We really don't have that here. All right. See you next week. Go green or go home. Happy Earth Day.